Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, points 19 and 20 of Donald Trump's 20-point peace plan for Gaza discuss the aspiration the Palestinian people have for self-determination and statehood and working towards that. But who could serve as the unifying figure to lead a Palestinian state? Many have pointed to Marwan Barghouti, who's currently being held in an Israeli jail following 5 convictions for murder and membership of a terrorist organization. But who exactly is Marwan Barghouti, and why are so many calling for his release? Fawaz Gurgaz is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science, and he joins me now. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Now, although he's been locked up for more than 2 decades, he kind of gets into the news from time to time. Recently, when he was being transferred from one prison to another, he allegedly was attacked by 8 prison guards and badly hurt.
Yes, absolutely. We have many reports, particularly from his own family, that Marwan Barghouti has been abused, constantly abused, by the prison authorities, including the Minister of National Security of Israel, who taunted Marwan Barghouti publicly in a video. And
I saw that video. Marwan Obviously, Barghouti, I couldn't understand what was being said. But Gavir is in the prison cell with Barghouti and appears to berate Barghouti for some reason. And Barghouti, I have to say, does not look like a well man.
No, he looked very fragile. He looked very vulnerable. He was very much in a horrible health situation. Both his wife and his son have made it very clear that his life is at stake. He's been mistreated. Obviously, he's not getting enough food, enough medical care. So there is also very much concern, from human rights organizations, Israeli human rights organizations, and international human rights organizations, that the Israeli authorities have really in the past 2 years or so, since the 7th of October, have mistreated Marwan Barghouti, and he lives in a solitary confinement in a prison in Israel. So there is a real, real anxiety on the part of his family and his supporters and international human rights organizations that what Israel is trying to do is to basically make life miserable, is to basically drive Marwan Barghouti to desperation, because they realize the importance of Marwan Barghouti. He's an iconic figure among the Palestinians. He's one of the most influential members of the Palestinian community. He's a unifying figure. Marwan Barghouti belongs to Al-Fatah organization, not to Hamas. And of course, he depending on what story you listen to, Israel says that he's a terrorist. The Palestinian says that he's a freedom fighter, but regardless, he's one of the most iconic figures within the Palestinian national movement today.
So it would not suit Israel, perhaps, to have him released, and perhaps he never will be, particularly if his condition deteriorates through abuse by his prison guards or others. But what is it about the man that has made him so iconic?
Well, I think, first of all, because he had resisted Israeli military occupation in the West Bank, he mobilized public opinion. He was one of the most vocal voices within the Palestinian resistance movement. He basically also took action into his own hands. He led a major unit, armed resistance movement, against Israeli military occupation in the West Bank. He's also one of the few voices within Al-Fatah movement, the secular nationalist movement, who calls for reconciliation with Hamas, an Islamist national resistance movement. And ironically, Hamas has been calling for the release of Marwan Barghouti, who is not a member of Hamas, he's a member of his rival, Fatah.
Now, so you can see that in terms of Fatah, and he did lead the Fatah government before his imprisonment, he was accused of 5 murders and convicted for those, and he was convicted of being a leader of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, and the Israelis, many Israelis are divided about him because even after 2 decades in jail, they would regard him as a terrorist. Others would say he was fitted up and that he's more like a Mandela figure that had, yes, a violent background against the Israeli forces, but not against Israeli civilians. So there are all sorts of mixed views floating around there. But what is the prospect of him ever getting out?
Well, Marwan Barghouti is, in a way, the future of Marwan, both the physical and the mental and the moral future of Marwan Barghouti is organically linked to the future of the Palestinians. Because as you mentioned, Marwan Barghouti is a kind of a figure like Nelson Mandela. He not only is seen, according to surveys that we have seen, as a unifying bridge, as a unifying figure within the Palestinian movement. And let's remind our listeners, the Palestinian leadership is deeply divided among Fatah, or the Palestinian Authority in the occupied West Bank, and Hamas, the Islamic Resistance Movement in Gaza. So Marwan Barghouti represents a kind of a unifying figure between the two movements. I would argue that Hamas will most likely accept Marwan Barghouti as the leader of the future Palestinian state. And more importantly than that, regardless of how we, because what we need to remember is that anyone who resists Israeli military occupation becomes a terrorist. So the term terrorist is basically a minefield. It depends really where you stand in this particular struggle for Palestinian self-determination and for the Palestinian nation. But let's put the question on the side. I would argue that Marwan Barghouti represents also hope for genuine reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians. Regardless of the action of Marwan Barghouti against the Israeli military occupation, and of course, the unfortunate and tragic death of Israeli civilians. In a way, he's one of the few figures within the Palestinian resistance movement who could really advance the prospect, not only of a Palestinian state, but also genuine reconciliation between Palestinians and Israelis. And that's why the Israeli government, the extremist government, will never accept the release of Marwan Barghouti, because he's a nightmare. He presents a nightmare. Because he is a person that who has been calling for historical reconciliation between the two people and the two imagined community, a Palestinian nation and an Israeli nation as well.
So the people who've been calling for his release, European leaders, the elders, a group to which Mary Robinson belongs. But what about Donald Trump? I mean, is he even aware of who Marwan Barghouti is and what his role might be?
Well, here's the irony. I mean, of course, we know that Donald Trump is not aware of anyone outside of what he really interests Donald Trump. But within the MAGA movement, the ultra-conservative movement in the United States, some leading voices have been calling on Donald Trump to release Marwan Barghouti. Because as I just mentioned a minute ago, Marwan Barghouti represents really a very rare opportunity, not only for basically the operational question of a Palestinian state, but for reconciliation between Israel and the Palestinian. And he's really now seen in many parts of the world as the new Palestinian Nelson Mandela, an iconic figure, a figure that would really, not again to come back to summarize my argument about him, that not only he could really present a unifying figure for the Palestinian, but a solid rock in the prospect, in the potential prospect for reconciliation between Israel and the Palestinians.
Now, the question of his survival is a critical one, I suppose. I was listening to an episode of The Rest is History with Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart from last May, in which they interviewed Marwan Barghouti's son about his father's incarceration and his hopes for the future. And that conversation was certainly reinforcing the notion that Barghouti could be the saviour. So that's a question of whether enough pressure can be brought, because Netanyahu would see his release as a frustration to his plans for Gaza.
Absolutely. And the release of Marwan Barghouti could really be a kind of catalyst for speeding up the prospect of a Palestinian state. And that's a nightmare scenario for Benjamin Netanyahu and his extremist coalitions, who would like to, quote unquote, to bury the idea of a Palestinian state. His son, Arab, and his wife, Marwan Barghouti's wife, have been really calling on President Trump directly to really put pressure on Netanyahu to release Marwan Barghouti. And many Israeli voices, let's keep in mind, there is a peace camp, a small peace camp in Israel, that has really also been calling for the release of Marwan Barghouti. Because again, at the end of the day, without unifying the Palestinian ranks, without bridging the divide between Fatah and the PA in the West Bank and Hamas, how do you begin the process of a Palestinian state? So the first important really step forward is to unify Palestinian ranks, and secondly, to begin the process of really dialogue, deep dialogue, genuine dialogue, historical dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians that bring an end to this 100-year conflict that has been devastating, mostly to the Palestinians, and also it affected the lives of Israelis, as we know from the 7th of October and since then, of course.
Well, that interview with Arab Barghouti, which was aired in the Rest is Politics podcast in May, if people want to get a more up-to-date view from his son Arab, well, Shane Beattie is actually speaking to Marwan Barghouti's son Arab on today's edition of the News Talk Daily podcast. You'll find it on the Go Loud player or wherever you get your podcast. Just search for News Talk Daily and that will bring you up to speed on perhaps even the physical condition of Marwan Barghouti at the moment. The question of coming out of prison, and we know when Nelson Mandela came out of prison, the noises he was making were those of reconciliation and realizing that he had to bring, you know, the white and the black populations of South Africa to a point of that reconciliation. Is there any guarantee that Marwan Barghouti on release would make the same sort of sounds?
Well, you know, there is never a guarantee, as you know. We're talking about really a process. My fear is that the longer the bloodshed continues, my fear is that the longer the oppression of the Palestinians, my fear is that the longer the incarceration of more than 10,000 Palestinians in Israeli prisons, the longer the massacres continue, the military occupation, the more and more difficult it becomes any kind of genuine reconciliation. And that's why many of us have been barking, many of us who believe in peace, in genuine peace, many of us who really believe that the only way for this particular conflict to end is to end Israeli military occupation and begin the process of genuine reconciliation. This will take years. You're talking about 100 years of suffering, of pain, of loss, of military occupation. It will take a long time, even in South Africa, as you know, Pat. I mean, the process continues. It's unfolding. It's never... I mean, the question is, there is no end to the pain and the hurt and the grievances. But you have to start from somewhere. And the sooner the military occupation, Israeli military occupation ends, the sooner that the Palestinians have been granted the right to self-determination, their basic human rights, then we can really begin the process of the reconciliation between Israel and the Palestinians. But now it's war. Now... the guns have to fall silent before really we can talk and basically see a light at the end of the tunnel, the dark tunnel of war and conflict and suffering.
What is your take on Trump's attitude at the moment? I mean, he went off to Asia and he was preoccupied with that for a while. He then has concentrated on the Caribbean and the South American countries that he sees are inimical to him. I mean, has he forgotten about Gaza, do you think, for the moment?
I mean, for your own listeners, it seems to me that the world really is no longer interested in Gaza. People don't realize the war has never ended in Gaza. What we are seeing now is really a low-intensity warfare. Hundreds of Palestinians have been killed since October the 10th, when the ceasefire has been sent. No escalation of humanitarian aid. Only 90 trucks enter Gaza, as opposed to 400 or 600, which are very much needed. Israel continues to really attack on a daily basis. So the situation is very, very desperate. Israel continues to occupy 53% of Gaza. And without extensive American pressure, it seems to me that the ceasefire not only fragile, but the ceasefire really is undercoming under tremendous strains.
I mean, looking at it from Israel's point of view, there would be those like Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and people like him who would say, listen, the only way we can guarantee the security of Gaza is if we control it utterly. And they want to go all the way. They were stopped, of course, by Trump's 20-point plan. And now they're in a kind of a no-man's land, which is satisfactory, really, for nobody.
You know, what worries me a great deal, and what really worries many people, is that Gaza now is in a limbo. No war and no peace. And if the Americans, if Trump really forgets about Gaza, as he seems to be, I mean, Donald Trump is too busy. His attention span, he's chaotic, he's all over the place. So that's exactly where Netanyahu wants Gaza to be. Because, again, the question really facing, I mean, Hamas and Israel, will the Israeli army ever leave Gaza? I mean, Turkey and Egypt and Qatar and Jordan are terrified that the Israeli army will never pull out of Gaza. But Netanyahu now has really is basically using what we call the low-intensity war in order to convince his hardliners, the Shoah, his own base in inside Israel. And let's also remind your listeners, next year is the elections year in Israel, and Netanyahu wants to really show that he continues to basically try to destroy Hamas and have basically absolute victory. So the next few weeks and next few months are really pivotal not only for the future of Gaza, but also pivotal for peace and stability in the Middle East as a whole, not just for the Palestinians and Israelis.
Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us. That's Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.